Jules. This is the Nick and Jules podcast.
Welcome.
Welcome.
And welcome back. And also welcome for the first time, potentially.
Oh, hello. If you're listening for the first time, thank you for us being in your ears.
How often do you think someone tunes into this for the very first time? Because I imagine we have a lot of repeat business and we appreciate you.
But, we like the repeat business.
We love repeat. That's how our business is sustainable.
Once every 12 episodes.
A new listener once every 12. All right. We have no way of proving that.
No, absolutely not. But that's fine. We'll go with that.
No, you're right. It's not bad. What's not bad is if it is your first time, I'd highly recommend heading into our Facebook page, the Nick and Jules Inner Circle. That's where you'll get behind the scenes content. That's where you'll get extra giveaways because they're giving away a private VIP 13-person, one-hour cruise, all thanks to Mildura Cruises along the beautiful Murray River.
Oh, thanks to our mate D-Mac. How good is that?
Captain D-Mac, who was so lovely to have us last week over in the Comedy Cruise and wanted to do another giveaway this week, so we're happy to have him. And we'll be giving it away to one of our inner circlers as well. So there's plenty of reasons. Oh, Alpha Bucks. Clues and tips,
which
and
is
stuff.
Popping off at the moment because the lady that was on air for Alpha Bucks today missed a six-letter word starting with the letter V.
Very difficult, I would say.
We've had a few people deciding to sort of jump in on that one,
brainstorm
and give the answers. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. You know, work together as a team. Not really how Alpha Bucks works, but we love it.
It's interesting how no other days have really spawned that level of. Let's go in and correct her.
Yeah.
Well, I did, sort of look at the question. I thought usually we go for a four-letter word and we spell that out, or maybe five, but six, oof, bit trickier.
All right.
No.
Well, you get it. Anyway, the Nick and Jules Inner Circle on Facebook. We'd highly recommend being there for extra stuff, free stuff, all that jazz. It is a Tuesday. We know you're in the podcast for this.
Am I the asshole?
Producer Aaliyah bringing a story from the Am I the Arsehole subreddit, of Reddit, of course, where people post their moral conundrums, their quandaries, their problems in life, and they need to know, once and for all, are they in fact the arsehole?
Well, are they? Today we've got a bit of a juicy one.
Okay.
Am I the arsehole for turning down sex from my wife?
All right.
For the past 4 years, I've been in a sexless marriage in my 30s, maybe 2 to 4 times per year. Per year?
Oh my goodness. I was expecting you to say per week and I went, that's not that sexless.
That's pretty good. No, 2 to 4 times per year. My wife attributes it to her antidepressants and medicinal marijuana usage that kills her sex drive. And I've tried to be as supportive as possible, but with no resolution in sight, it's causing me to become increasingly emotionally detached, which upsets her. Mm. I've tried explaining that the lack of intimacy for so long is the root, but she gets defensive and says it's not her fault and that she has no desire anymore. So I live my life frustrated and take it whenever I can, as infrequent as it may be. I have a high sex drive and fantasize about cheating, but I know I will never act on it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the few events that turns her on is weddings.
Hey, whatever you can get, you know.
As infrequent as it may be, he says.
Always been like to his mates, you really should pop the question. He goes, it's been 2 dates. Go on.
She likes to sneak off in the middle of to a secluded area for a quickie. Lately, it's the only time.
She does.
Yeah, she does.
Right, okay.
Wow.
Obviously with him. It's the only time I can rely on getting any. Well, we're attending one this weekend. I've been turned down so frequently for so long and harboring so much resentment as of late. I plan to refuse her advances. I already know it will be a huge blow to her self-esteem and I'm over having it be on her terms only. Am I the asshole?
No, but see a psychologist or a sexologist together.
Or a sex worker, honestly.
Couples therapy, yeah.
There are lots of answers. Because you're right, it does suck because it isn't explicitly her fault.
Yeah, it's not something she can control.
I would argue if she does blame the medication, that there are multiple types of medication that do very similar things that have all got varying different side effects.
We don't know the history though of why she's on that.
It might be the reason. It might be the best working one.
So he has actually gone in the comments into detail. So she is on selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, which is a class of medications most commonly prescribed to treat depression.
That would suck.
And basically, it's almost like a beta blocker, really.
So the last thing you want to think about is yeah, doing anything with your partner. That's fair. That sucks. There sounds like there's a whole bunch of other stuff going on in her life that she needs to sort out with the support of a partner.
Yeah, it is rough. It's this. I would argue this is probably one of our hardest. Am I the arseholes?
Really?
Hardest moral quandaries. Well, I just think because it's like it isn't really her fault, but I also completely understand and think that him being upset is quite justified.
His
because
reaction, for sure.
For a lot of people, yeah. Sex is a very important part of relationships. It definitely is for me. And I've definitely had, issues in past relationships where I didn't feel like, I was...
You're on the same page.
Exactly. The same
so
page.
Two
much
to
better
four
than
times
I was going to say.
A year.
That's not much at all.
That's nothing.
That's wild. That's
how
every
do you procreate? You don't.
That's once a quarter. That's we get the business reports. We get the numbers per quarter and we go, let's celebrate.
Oh my God.
Once a quarter. So what do you think?
I think
if you had to go black and white, is he not the asshole? NTA?
If I had to go black and white, I think he's the asshole. But the reason why, it sounds like he's planning on saying no in order to upset her. And I think that motive is what makes him the asshole. Because if he says no, then no one's winning. No one wins in this scenario because he wants to have sex and he's not going to have sex. And if he says no, then he knows he's going to upset her. And I think there's probably a more genuine conversation that needs to be had outside of just saying no at a wedding.
It's deeper than that.
Yes.
There is an update.
Oh. Tell us more.
All right. He says, if she initiates over the weekend, I've decided to agree.
At a wedding?
At the wedding.
At a wedding. Right.
Having a quickie in the backseat of a car isn't my ideal experience, but as I said, I have a high sex drive, so it is what it is. I think part of the resentment comes from the idea that I know this is a fetish for her and I'm expected to satisfy that need without having my own needs met at home. But I'd be lying if there wasn't a selfish aspect to it as well. Yes, it's not her fault, but after so long, being careful with how I broach the topic, not wanting her to feel pressured or make her feel even worse, I realize I'm shielding her at the expense of my own mental health. I've tried over the years to casually suggest talking to her doctor, but I've come to realize I need to be more direct. I do plan to tell her that we need to seek counseling after this weekend. Yeah. I'm unsure of my ability to sensitively communicate how I'm feeling without help. So he's planning on doing it anyway.
He's planning on doing the right stuff.
Yeah.
That seems all fair, I think.
What I don't love about this is that he's, weighing up these decisions or saying like, I could cheat on her, I could fantasize about that, but I won't and all that sort of stuff, like a bit of mind play.
Well done for doing the bare minimum of not cheating on your wife.
But ultimately, I think we've got to where they should land, which is talk to someone who's an expert here.
I think ultimately, I agree. I think it's a bit gross to be like, I could have cheated, but I didn't.
Yeah.
And I'm like, obviously not great, but like whatever you
need. And don't voice that to the internet either.
But whatever he needs to feel fine about it. Like obviously, it's like doing a nice task for someone, doing someone a favor. It's like, who cares about your motives? As long as you're doing the externally nice thing.
Yes. Are you doing it for gratitude or to be noticed?
So if he is mentally a bit of a kind of a garbage man at points,
douchebag,
that's fine. As long as he's externally being nice by his wife, I think that's fine.
I have a second update.
Oh my God.
I like
turn tables. Also, he's deleted his Reddit account.
Of course he has.
Because clearly he's gotten quite a lot of DMs and comments and messages about this.
Backlash off this last update.
Or support.
But seemingly in general.
Because I think that until as of the first update, I think not great, but I think nowhere near the worst person on this website.
Oh, yeah. Definitely not.
Oh, definitely not the worst person. But the last update, he says, let me clarify. No, the idea of rejecting my wife isn't to intentionally hurt her or punish her. I am hurt, I am angry, I'm frustrated. Having quickie sex isn't very meaningful for me, but I feel as though I'm being forced to just take whatever I can get whenever it's offered, because if I say no, when will I have another shot? And I've been doing that for a long time. I don't want to do it anymore. I end up feeling worse in the long run, and there's unresolved anger that is in play. Is there also a sense of satisfaction I'll get knowing she finally knows how I feel? Yes, but me saying I know she'll be hurt is just stating the facts, because she will be.
Okay.
And he's deleted the account. So
because he's too busy replying to comments. He doesn't have time for that because he's gone to therapy.
Yeah.
That's what's happened. He might be having sex with his wife now.
They could have gone to Bonetown 24/7 since then.
Oh, they could have. That's also an option.
Yeah.
I guess we'll never know.
We'll never know. And I think we put this one to bed.
Wait, hang on. So overriding, knowing all the facts we know now, not the asshole?
I say he's not.
I just feel like he's...
I think he's not the asshole.
Him saying, oh, I'm not rejecting her because, you know, this, this and this, I feel like it's a cop-out. Mm. He knew what he was doing when he had initially thought of rejecting her.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like,
it's not, calculated, right?
It's calculated.
Pre-updates, I'm like, asshole. Now I'm like, not asshole, but definitely seek counselling. And honestly, that's all that we can really say. I feel like that's something we need to say to a lot of people at the back end of this segment. Seek counselling. Seek counselling.
Am I the asshole?
It's a big old N-O, another edition of Am I the Asshole. In today's podcast, plenty of stuff you might have missed out on from today's show. Enjoy, and we will see you tomorrow, everyone.
Bye-bye. There is a Wiggles documentary that is dropping today.
Hot potato, hot potato. Hot potato, hot potato.
Oh my goodness. Yes, indeed.
Hot potato, the story of the Wiggles. It's bizarre to think of this kids' band as an expose version.
Yeah, well, you never really think of when you look at the four Wiggles, you don't think sex, drugs, rock and roll, we need to uncover what's behind the scenes, do you?
But nevertheless, there is quite a fair detail of the timeline of the four coloured skivvies, how they started out as a sort of like a rock band and then accidentally fell into the kids' world. The different iterations with the new generation, the female Wiggle, all that sort of stuff. I found it quite interesting, a few of the scandals
Scandals. Was this when Jeff was caught with Henry the Octopus?
I didn't hear about
Henry,
that one.
No, I've heard Henry was quite handsy backstage.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we had eight of them, so.
That must be in the final cut.
Yeah, that's the deleted scenes.
That's it. Well, one of the interesting things I found was Dorothy the Dinosaur was going to get axed as a side character.
Was she really?
Because back in the early days, Dorothy was wearing half dinosaur top and hat, normal, but blue jeans.
Yeah, she was sponsored by Levi's.
They were trying to pitch it to different networks and whatnot, and they're like, this doesn't look quite right.
She's relatable. She wears jeans just like you and me.
Give her a tail. Former Yellow Wiggle Sam Moran, he was a fill-in for Greg for 6 years.
Oh.
I didn't notice that.
They snuck that one past a lot of people.
Bit of a cast change. But he was booted when Greg's health improved. He had a bit of a health scare. Good thing Greg was back on board.
They put him on the bench.
But Sam... not super happy with the outing. He did, however, have unlimited access to the Wiggles recording space, Hot Potato Studios. If you just want to casually record a kid's album.
Yeah. Only kids' albums, though, if you talk about anything non-childlike. Oh, get you out of there.
But don't feel too bad for Sam, because now he's been signed up as a solo artist with the same label that manages Taylor Swift, Drake, and Nicki Minaj.
And they all sing about roughly the same things. Hot Potato... Wheels on the Big Red Car.
Mm-hmm. Now over to Blue Wiggle Anthony. Turns out, bit of stage nerves backstage. He once threw a drum kit at Yellow Wiggle Greg after he was told off for playing too loud backstage.
That's quite strong.
And how is he doing? Is he picking up cymbal by cymbal, drum by drum? Yeah. I don't know how he did that.
Plenty of time to get out of the firing line. He has to disassemble the drum kit before he throws it.
Great strength. Last but not least, Purple Wiggle Jeff.
Mm.
Now we know what he's famous for.
Sleep apnea.
Forever asleep. This is the part that I was missing. Why did no one explain why the poor guy is insomniac?
He's narcoleptic, and we just thought, oh, let's put him in front of 1,000 kids and see how we go.
Nick, I caught up with a friend yesterday with my boyfriend for dinner last night. And my boyfriend rocked up. We met at the dinner place, and he happened to have a bandage on his arm.
Oh, poor boy.
The friend was like, oh, no, what's happened? What have you done?
Your hero? What have you been up to? Who have you been fighting?
Well, somewhat of a hero. He donated blood.
Good on him. Well,
yes.
Aren't we all impressed, Peter?
And look, I'll get the spiel out the way. If you can donate blood, please do. Lifeblood always need it. O, positive, negative at the time right now is very important across Victoria. But it was interesting him retelling the story of what happened to the appointment when he went to donate blood yesterday.
Okay.
And he rocked up, and he normally does like a plasma donation, which is about an hour. Always positive experience. Always lovely people there. Of course, they want volunteers to come in, donate their blood, get to sit down, have a nice little snack, really feel good about the process. For some reason, not everyone was on their game yesterday.
Well, it's one of the places you really want everyone. They're taking your blood.
The staff were fine.
Staff were fine. Okay.
It was the donators that were not. So
Peter rocked up after a few Chardonnays.
He did everything right by the book. You know, he will tell you all the time. He's donated X amount of times. They've got that many liters of his blood. They could basically recreate another human.
Wow. That's what they keep telling him. We've got so much of you on tap, Peter.
He's sitting there. He's donating. Two guys near him on other chairs are falling asleep while they're there. They're clearly not going by the rules, not using the squishy thing to keep the blood pumping and the veins going. There's one guy who's got like a beanie over his face. He's having a nap. There's another guy who's not able to keep going. There's another guy who's in the corner and he's managed to somehow pass out from the experience. I am concerned because this is not my experience at the Lifeblood Center.
I don't want their blood. I want focused blood.
Has this uncovered a movement here where people are potentially squatting there? Where people
squatting? Do you think that they came in for room and board and just thought, well, the food's good, the beds are comfortable, I might as well get some
free food. The beds are very comfortable, very warm. I don't blame them. They're open so many hours. I understand.
I don't think it is a movement.
You don't think it is?
But I'm worried now that you've put the thought in people's heads.
Oh, what have I done?
Lifeblood today are going to get an influx of people who have been on the streets. They've got their trolley full of garbage and they're like, hey, I heard you do sausage rolls and I can have a kip here as well. Elon Musk, billionaire.
Yep.
Got a lot of money.
Tesla man. Yeah.
Amongst many other things. Current owner of X.
Ah, formerly known as Twitter. Yep.
Yes. And he's looking to share the wealth around a little bit.
Oh, how kind of him to share his fortune.
Elon Musk said to the business, the website that we all know, Wikipedia, that he's prepared to give them $1 billion.
Oh, I see that. Because in the pop-ups when you go on that website, it sometimes says, would you like to donate?
Yeah, every time you go to Wikipedia, they're always like, hey, we require donations to keep things moving here because we don't do ads, we don't do X, Y, and Z.
Please, sir, I'm poor.
And I don't really quite understand why they need money because it doesn't seem like there's a lot of overheads for Wikipedia.
Do they have employees? Do they have people to fact check things? Because I once tried to change an article and they were very quick on it.
Right. To re-correct you.
Yes.
Who's to say? The Nick and Jules article. The Jules Green Half. Number one radio show in the world as well.
Renamed it Pools.
Pools. No, Elon Musk has said he would give $1 billion to Wikipedia. He's got one simple request. And I think that's pretty fair. If you're getting ready to give $1 billion and you've got just one thing you want to get done, that's fair.
Yep.
He wants them to change their name. He likes a name change, doesn't he? He went from Twitter to X.
He loves a rebrand.
And he wants to go from Wikipedia. Now, this is really clever, by the way.
Yeah.
And if you need me to explain the joke, you let me know.
Okay.
And I don't mean rude, but it's a bit of a thinking.
It's highbrow?
Name. It certainly is.
Okay.
You know, for a billionaire, you would hope that it's in a highbrow humor. He said, if you accept my $1 billion, all you've got to do is change your name from Wikipedia to Dickipedia.
Oh, with the D.
Yeah, Dickipedia.
Wow.
Dickipedia.
Is he a 5-year-old?
No.
Are we sure about that?
Well, actually, to be fair.
Should we check Wikipedia just in case?
Producer Leah, can you quickly give us an age check on 52? Well, there's a 5 in there. Yeah, he wants it to be called Dickipedia. And everyone was saying to Wikipedia, saying, hey, you should definitely do it though. Because take his money and then as soon as you've got the money, just change it back.
Yeah, there won't be any caveats to that, will it?
Elon says 1 year minimum. He wants it 1 year minimum of being on Dickipedia, which is absolutely, you know why it's a travesty is because the amount of times I use Wikipedia for cheating and doing dumb stuff in high school, it was every class. I didn't read textbooks. I'd always go to Wikipedia for my information. Absolutely.
Trusted source.
Now, in high schools across the world, kids are not going to be able to access Wikipedia because the school filters are going to prevent them from searching Dick.
Oh, no!
Elon Musk, think of the goddamn children when you're thinking about Dickipedia.
We heard the news that the indexation's going up and people that already have a debt are going to be paying even more to pay off their student loans.
That's bad news. What could be good news is, though, the news that's been released this week that thousands of Aussies will have part of their HECS debt waived due to a record-keeping error.
Oh, we like this stuff up.
Could be potentially very good. We don't quite understand the ins and outs that are covering everything to do with HECS. Someone that does, though, is Graham Wynn, our finance guru, founder and director of Superior People Recruitment, joining us right now. Graham, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are we today?
We are doing very well after what is potentially quite good news for a lot of Australians.
This is good news, and very rare to have good news these days, isn't it? So basically, yes. An administration error, they're calling it. So basically what happens is that people on HEX, their educational organisation, are meant to send all their information to the tax office so that the students can log on to themselves to the ATO portal and say, okay, where am I up to? How much do I still owe? What's the situation? What's it increasing by? Unfortunately, these educational sectors did not send all the information to the tax office, and the tax office only upload complete files. So a number of students, about 13,000, I think, weren't able to access their HEX file through the ATO portal to see what the increase was going to be, this last 7.1%. So because they weren't able to access it and see it and challenge it, it'll be wiped off.
It's very monopoly, you know, due to a clerical error. You know, you don't get that extra bit of cash in your pocket as you walk around.
Absolutely, yeah.
I'm reading, Graham, over $5 million. How do we find out if that's one of us?
Well, basically, the first thing you do is ring the tax office. That's the easiest way. Just get in touch with the tax office, find out if it's you or not. And you'll know this pretty straightforward because when you try and log on to the ATO portal, you won't see the information there. So straight away, you'll know my file's not there. So you contact the tax office and then they will take it from there. But this is purely because their educational organisations they were with did not submit the complete paperwork to the tax office. So it's not a tax office problem. It's their educational organisation problem, their administration stuff up. Yeah.
So, Graham, how will we know if this, you know, could potentially happen again?
Quite strongly, it will happen again. Absolutely, yes. Because we're relying on, unfortunately, people within certain departments and education organisations to actually go in and do all this correctly. And we know that people being human, it doesn't always happen perfectly. They're too busy, they get tied up doing something else, they just don't do it all. And they take shortcuts, and if the people take shortcuts, this is the end result, which means the government potentially could be about $5.5 billion short.
Wow.
Well, there are 13,000 Australians out there today this week who are pretty happy that someone forgot to do part of their job whilst they were clocking in, clocking out. Joined right now by Graham Wynn, our finance guru, as we said, founder and director of Superior People Recruitment, telling us, yes, get excited. You could have part of your HEX debt wiped out this week, and get in touch with the ATO to find out if it's you. Graham, thanks for your time this morning, mate.
My pleasure. Talk again soon.
Nick and Jules. That was the Nick and Jules podcast.